Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge. You should support them because they support us. They have 136 draft beers, a 50-foot TV. LSU plays Ole Miss. The Saints are trying to get to 500. They're going to play Kansas City Sunday. The Pelican House, they're awesome. They have a late-night menu. They have everything you want. Go there, the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right. Woohoo! The Saints are 2-3 in style. Defense is optional. Sad Cam is the best Cam. He looked like the guy from Godfather's Pizza, sort of, in the post game, and he just went full Ditka. Next question. It was phenomenal. Andrew, this offense at home is averaging 36 a game, and they're basically, except for a pick six by Drew Brees against Atlanta, they've basically been unstoppable.
Well, they didn't play well against the Giants, but...
At home, I'm talking about.
Oh, at home, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I think part of this is the competition. I mean, Carolina's secondary is a joke. And we saw what Matt Ryan and Julio Jones did to them. They still have Kuechly. They still have a decent front. You know, their front seven in general, a great linebacking core, so... yeah, I'd probably still take their defense over ours.
Fun fact that I noticed, and you know me, I don't break down the tape like you, but fun fact I noticed yesterday, Andrew, the Saints were in three wides, and Carolina was like, our corners suck so bad, we're not going to nickel. They were playing their base and letting Shaq Lawson try to guard whoever was in the slot.
It was Shaq Thompson.
Shaq Thompson.
Yes.
Shaq Lawson, the danger guy for Buffalo. But yeah. I was like, what the fuck? But they were doing it, and it was the Saints were just destroying them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, Brees, he looks healthy, you know, and that was I wrote a post about it. I was worried about his arm. You know, obviously the bye week he did him some good. But he was on the ball. I mean, if anything he missed any throws he missed, he threw. So and that's the key. I feel like as bad as his defense is at times, if the offense can just be like this, then God damn it, we can win any of these games.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you brought your son to his first Saints game, so that was
regular season game.
So that was nice. Did you indoctrinate him enough? I think that's a good first game to go to.
It was. This was the ideal situation. This is exactly the type of game that I wanted. I wanted to play out on the field for his first game.
I mean, you basically gave him an arena football experience.
Well, I mean, not even the scoring so much. I mean, the first quarter was fun because they kept scoring. And every time they scored, I'd pick him up and scream with him. And, you know, part of the fun I told him was like, you get to just go and you get to just yell and scream as loud as you want. Nobody's going to yell at you. At home, he's yelling and screaming. And we're always telling him to be quiet. But it was just great. It was exciting to the end. You know, it wasn't a blowout by the Saints or vice versa, where the fans are just, you know, talking and half interested and half disinterested. Everybody was, you know, on the edge of their seat all the way to the end. And obviously, the outcome was what we wanted with the field goal at the last second and the win, and the whole stadium goes nuts. I mean, I think those are the type of moments that have to happen for, you know, somebody like that you know, for it to really, for it to really click and, you know, yeah, and get hooked. But I still think probably Star Wars is definitely number one. I mean, he is just, he's totally obsessed with Star Wars. But I think I might have snuck a little Saints in there when we got home. First of all, when we got home, the first thing he did was he just laid down on the floor. He was exhausted. He was exhausted.
I was too.
Adorable.
I was drunk though.
But then he was like, "You want to play football?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're hungry for more, huh?" And that was one of
good
the things
sign.
That stuck out in my mind. Yeah, that I thought was a good sign. But then the other thing I'll mention is Aaron and I bought him. We went to the Black and Gold shop like at the beginning of the season just to look around.
Wait,
or whatever.
Who's Aaron? My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
we saw this like kid's tracksuit. It's like a mafioso style, you know, windbreaker pant and zip up jacket hoodie combo. And he wore it for the first time yesterday. And it's like so awesome. It's like, I wish I had one in adult size. And he got like so
many
compliments.
You won matching.
He got so
many
compliments.
You put a picture of that on Facebook, didn't you?
Yeah.
And
at the game, people were like looking, like, were like pointing. We walked up the stairs to go to take him to the bathroom. And one guy was like pointing. He's like, "That's awesome." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool." Black and gold shop.
Father of the year.
Yeah, he got multiple compliments, so it was pretty good.
And
he didn't wear the headphones. We brought headphones for him, and he didn't really feel like he needed it. But wait, while we're talking about kids in the Superdome, I think we have to, first of all, we need to find this kid and get him on the podcast. The kid who wore the Cam Newton jersey, who had the seat in the end zone and got handed a ball after Cam Newton's touchdown and then ripped off the Newton jersey to reveal he's really a Saints fan and he's wearing a Saints jersey. And he totally trolled Newton.
Master troll there. That is.
We gotta find him.
Seriously, if anyone knows who that kid is, we want him on the podcast.
You the real MVP. I wonder if he thought of that himself or like his parents put him up there. I need this story. I need to know. Because if he thought of that himself.
Oh. That's even extra special.
I mean, that is epic.
That is just people, news media people on Twitter were like, "If you know him, let me know." They were like all over that. I had like channel 6, channel 4, channel 8. I saw at least a reporter from every New Orleans news station tweet.
But how did he know that he would be in the right seat to even tempt Cam Newton?
Well, you just know if you're in the end zone, right? You can.
Was he rolling the whole game with that jersey, hoping for the moment?
No,
I would think,
or you have it ready, and you know Cam Newton's not paying attention.
Scores a touchdown.
Cam Newton's not paying attention to the fans until he scores, right? So you're like, okay, Cam's inside the red zone. Put the jersey on. See?
Right. Yeah,
I feel like, Andrew, with the Saints defense, I feel like I'm guilty of this personally. I feel like I have a case of football Stockholm syndrome where you become attached emotionally and you get sympathetic towards your captors, and the captor of course is the Saints' horrible defense, and we're making excuses for that. And I feel like we're year 3 into this horrible defense, and now we look for any ray of hope and we try to talk ourselves into it. I'm like, they only allowed 3.8 yards a rush. They had 2 sacks. They got an interception. They have positive outlooks. They're turning the corner. When in actuality, if you take a step back, you're like, it's still a fucking dumpster fire. Are we?
Yeah.
They gave up a lot of points in this game,
but they didn't get that. I mean, they gave up a lot of points in this game and yards,
and they gave up a 21-point lead.
Yes,
let's not gloss over that.
There's one thing. If I had to say, there's one thing that's night and day for me compared to last year. And last year, I throw into the same pool as the Spagnuolo year. I mean, just two of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life. And to me, the run defense is night and day. I mean, Carolina is a very good running football team. And you know, they only had 103, 3.8 per carry. I mean, that's decent, but it's not awesome. And then you look at what they did against the Giants and Chargers, where they completely dominated. They were good except for one run against the Raiders, and then they were bad against Atlanta. But I think if you look at the body of work now through five games, the run defense, I wouldn't say it's been awesome, but I think I would describe it as average or slightly better than average at worst.
The good thing is,
compared to last year, it was an atrocity.
Well, the thing is, this year teams, every game last year, teams could go into the game and be like, "We're just gonna jam it down the Saints' throat, and we're just gonna keep doing it."
Yeah, we're gonna do. Last year it was we're gonna do whatever we want.
Yeah,
and it almost doesn't matter what play we call. And I think this year they're doing a decent enough job against the run that they're setting up third and four, third and five, third and six. And then, you know, good things happen in those situations where sometimes you get off the field.
I feel like it's got to be more than third. I think if the Saints, they only have a 50-50 shot when it's third and over six. Like if it's third and less than five.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, like last year, they hardly even got to third down. And when they did, it was third and inches, you know? And so I just think it's one of those things where at least, look, the pass rush, they just don't have enough guys. And the secondary is just too banged up. It is what it is. They're going to be exposed. But, you know, if the interior, Davison and Fairley and Cam Jordan, if they keep playing the way they're playing against the run and Robertson keeps tackling and playing well and Vaccaro, then they can be decent against the run. And if they can at least do that, I feel like they're at least setting up their pass defense to be in favorable situations.
Dave, what do we have to do to not have cornerbacks get injured? I feel like we've done something despite the football gods, and all the corners, whenever they look even like a little bit promising, they get injured. Sterling Moore, latest example.
Maybe we need a new medical staff. I don't know.
I mean, they're back to Brian Dixon at corner, and I like Brian Dixon. He's a nice little special teams player, but he is bad at corner. I mean, you know.
So who do we have left? We got Ken Crawley.
Don't forget B.W. Webb.
B.W. Webb. We got B.W.
Yeah, I mean, we are. I mean, it's ridiculous. These are the backups to the backups to the backups.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny is, so I watched the – I'm in Virginia, so I watched the national feed. And the whole game, all they harped on was Carolina and how they were how banged up they were in the secondary and how they were starting third and fifth round pick rookies. And I'm screaming at the TV saying, the Saints are starting undrafted guys.
Dude,
they weren't even drafted, the guys that they're starting. And Crawley's a rookie. I mean, like, no mention whatsoever of the Saints. It was driving me insane.
We were talking about Crawley and Harris in August of, like, ooh, one of those guys could make the team and maybe be kind of interesting as the nickel or maybe play a little bit or whatever. Like, the corner situation was, we were talking about Swan as like the fourth and fifth guy. Like, you know, this is before the plague hit.
Let's just talk about the guys real quick for a second here, okay? Bro and Keenan Lewis were supposed to be the starters, right? I mean, Lewis cut, Bro broken leg, right?
Yeah.
Then you had Swan and PJ Williams both out for the year. Then you had Kyle Williams.
Kyle Wilson, forgot about him.
He was supposed Kyle to be, Wilson.
You
know,
yeah.
Or Wilson, sorry. He was supposed to be like the fifth corner, you know, the vet guy. He gets injured out for the year. So that's your top five guys right now. And now, you know, maybe you put Crawley maybe as your six, and then you've got Sterling Moore as your seven. Moore's now out.
Devontae.
Well, yeah. Devontae's behind Crawley, though.
Yeah. So
right. So now you've got Sterling Moore out. Moore was your seventh guy. So right now you've got Crawley, your sixth guy, and B.W. Webb, your eighth guy. That's who the Saints are starting right now. They're sixth and eighth corner.
Yeah. Did we get word on Sterling? I didn't see anything on him.
I know I haven't either. So. I mean, he's tweeting like he's in a good mood, so I'm hoping that means he's.
I mean, he really didn't look bad when he was walking off the field. I mean, he honestly looked fine when he was walking off. Looked like he was shaking his right leg a little bit.
Yeah. Dave, do the Saints have a legit kicker? Now, are we?
I don't know. I mean.
Do you guys think Forbath or Connor Barth hit that kick?
I mean, Lutz has the leg.
Connor Barth's
kind
of been terrible for the Bears.
Lutz's kick was ugly.
We can all agree with that. It looked like I didn't think it was gonna. On the TV, I was like, "That is ugh," and it got there.
Yeah, he knew it was good way before I did.
No,
like I saw him put his hands up. Almost right after he hit it, and I was like, "Man, are you sure?"
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a leg, and I mean, Peyton has given him tons of opportunity. I mean, obviously the Raiders game, he threw him out there. This game, he's out there again. He's been put in pressure situations early.
He
missed one earlier though in the game, didn't he?
He hasn't missed a kick. Well, the blocked one was a short kick, but he hasn't missed a kick where you're like, dude, you need to make that. Like, all his misses are from 50 plus.
The extra points aren't gimmies,
as we saw from Graham Gano.
The extra points aren't gimmies,
and he's been automatic from 33 on the extra points all year.
Speaking of special teams, they weren't a disaster yesterday, Andrew. They were actually quite good. Tommy Lee Lewis had a good return.
To these Twitter arguments we've had with people.
Oh my God.
And you and I talking about how important special teams is, and all these idiots being like, "I don't care about special teams. Fix the defense." Like, no, it's all part of it. And I'm not going to call him out, but I think.
Oh, you just.
You salty dog. No, but you're right. Here's the thing. Like, if you.
But no, I mean, look at the game, right? They win by 3 points. And what was the difference? Huge punt return in the game. Huge punt return. And then they hit a 52-yard field goal to win the game.
Yeah.
Two huge plays in a 3-point game. And again, you look back at those other games, there were one possession games. And you think about the blocked field goal for a touchdown. You think about the Devontae Harris fumble, whatever that was. Those changed the outcome of the game. Huge swings.
Yeah, I do think one interesting thing is Sean Payton has gone to treating punt returns that when the Saints are going to be pinned deep in their territory, he treats it like an 87-year-old man hoarding money under his mattress. Like, he's totally risk-averse, and he's got Jarris Bird back there. And whoever the color guy was for Fox, was it Johnson? He flipped his lid.
Yeah.
He flipped his lid because they had one of those things where Jarris Bird, he could have returned it for probably like 10, 15 yards, but Jarris Bird, only fair catches, because if he doesn't fair catch and returns one, Sean Payton will murder him. Are we cool with this? Where the Saints are?
Yeah, Jarris Bird is the fair catch, don't fumble guy.
Yeah, and they don't even pretend.
Like it doesn't matter how nice the lanes look. He's fair catching and he's not returning.
Like, are
period.
We? Are we
ever?
Are we okay with this, Dave?
No.
No, Dave. You're
no.
Yes.
I mean,
you're okay with it? Why?
Yeah, I am. He's not supposed to return. The whole reason he's back there is to avoid disaster, because he has the most reliable hands. If it was about getting a good return, he's not explosive. So you would put Tommy Lee or Marcus Murphy or whatever back there. But the whole point of him
you wouldn't
being
trust
in there is
like Travaris.
No. I think
Jarris Bird is back there because he's their best hands guy.
I think, Dave, I think Sean Payton, he probably knew this going into the year, but I think the Atlanta game really crystallized it, and he said it after. He's like, we are not good enough to overcome a special teams disaster. And they just, they can't. It's proven fact. They lost to the Giants. They lost, like, they can't overcome a dude muffing a punt inside the 10. Like, they're
you know what else Carolina's not good enough to recover from a disaster special teams either.
Well, So if you know that you're not,
and they lost.
Yeah, but the thing is, Andrew, if you know you're not going to recover from a disaster, it's better to be super risk averse.
Limit your risk. You know? I agree.
But
that's why I will say that's why I'm a little surprised the Saints kind of settled for the 52-yarder.
Yeah.
I was also very surprised that Carolina didn't call a timeout a lot sooner. Yeah, I didn't feel like Carolina managed the clock very well at the end there when the Saints had the ball.
No, Riverboat Ron is not one to, like, you know, he's not like a clock savant.
Andrew, you thought they would call it, you thought the Saints would call a timeout and go for one more play?
No, but I thought they were being kind of, they were being pretty conservative. Like they were doing short throws. Like it didn't seem like when they got to that part of the field that they were thinking like we need 10, 15 more yards.
That
Breeze tried to gun it downfield. I mean, they were very much playing like,
yeah, we're gonna
go for short throws, and if we have to kick a 52-yarder here, we're good.
No, I mean they ran the bubble screen. They ran the bubble screen on second down to Cooks. He got tackled, and then Breeze had to kill the clock, and that was third down. So then they were on fourth. So it was a little bit of peculiar play calling.
Wait, going back to Jarris Bird, by the way, he only played like 4% of the snaps or whatever. I was surprised to see that. I mean, is Von Bell replacing him?
No, he played more than that.
He did not. Go look at the snap counts. He played very minimally.
I thought I saw him on the field a lot more than that.
Von Bell played like 80 to 90% of the game.
Yeah, but Bird, they both with played Vaccaro together.
No,
yeah,
with Vaccaro.
They had a lot of three safety looks, though.
Let me see. I
go look it up. It's on Canal Street Chronicles. Plug.
plug. Let's see.
I definitely think Von Bell is the starting free safety for now. I mean, he replaced him against the Chargers.
He played half
right? The
plays, 54.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played half.
Yeah, he played way more. You're full of shit,
Dave.
He
played 44.
That's not
you're
what
you're thinking of Anthony, who only played four plays.
No, I know.
Yeah, you're thinking of Stan. You're definitely thinking of Stephon Anthony, who had four snaps.
I saw that, too. All right, well, hold on. I got to go.
Jarris Bird was in the game a lot in the nickel and dime packages where they had... They'd move Vaccaro to the slot, and then the two safeties would be Bell and Bird.
Three safeties. This is a good topic because Andrew, I feel like the three safeties is what we're gonna see the rest of the year, right? Like
not really three safeties. Like we're calling it that because they're quote unquote safety guys, but what it really is it's Vaccaro in the slot, and then they bring in another safety to compensate for him being out. And so then Bird comes in basically to replace Vaccaro as Vaccaro goes to the slot.
But I mean, that's...
so it's not like they have three high safeties, but they do have three quote unquote safeties on the field.
That's what it's going to be though the rest of the year. Like this is really the only sort of card. That
well, I think Dennis they with all the injuries at corner, they have to go this route. Yeah, I mean, I think Von Bell and Vaccaro both may have to play some corner, some slot.
Yeah,
just to compensate for all the injuries because. You know, quite frankly, I'd much rather see Bell or Vaccaro in the slot than Brian Dixon.
I'd rather see a chair in the slot than Brian Dixon.
Well, I think the Saints kind of got a tough beat, I think, with the injury to Moore because, you know, they called up Dixon because he's a much better special teams player than Devontae Harris. But Harris is the better cover guy. And, you know, you can only keep 46 active. And so Harris was one of the inactive guys, but obviously when that injury happened, I mean, Harris would have been the next guy in the pecking order. So that was kind of a bummer that he couldn't come in instead of Dixon, because I think they would have been better off with Harris in the game at that point.
Dave, if Tony Hills is starting at left tackle against Kansas City, how much liquor do you think I'm going to need for Sunday?
You're normally going to need some Pappy Van Winkle.
That's the good stuff. I mean, I mean, I mean, I can't drink a whole bottle of that. I mean, that's just reckless. I mean,
yeah. I think you need rot gut. Yeah, you need rot gut liquor. You need Aristofrat.
Aristofrat. I need.
You can down two or three handles on the cheap.
Tony Hill. I mean, look, he motivates the troops like no other. Apparently, he's like life coach, motivational speaker. But Andrew, I don't know if I want him playing four quarters. I don't know
if I want him playing one drive. Did you see that penalty ridden?
It was.
I mean the play, first of all, it was 3rd and 15, so it was miraculous enough that Brees finds Michael Thomas for a first down. But Tony Hills was like lost the pasture. He clearly thought it was a screen play. He completely got the wrong play because he was like 15 yards downfield as Brees is throwing it. I don't even know how Brees didn't get sacked when his left tackle just basically abandoned protection. But I think he would be a little bit better off if he had a week to prepare at a position that he knew he was going to play. So I do think it's a little tougher when you get thrown into situations and you're not ready. But, Justin Houston's back healthy, right?
Yes.
Ish. So, Justin Houston, even at 70% against Tony Hills, would keep me up at night.
Dave, this question is probably going to bring out Angry Dave, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Oh, boy.
Michael.
Here we go.
You can just say true or false. Michael Thomas is going to have the most receptions by any Saints receiver at the end of the year.
What is he at now?
26.
Is he leading?
He's leading Brandon Cooks by one.
Really?
Why would that make Dave angry?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought he would be like, "That's bullshit."
I'm actually more surprised because I don't really recall Michael Thomas making that many catches. I would have thought for sure Cooks was the current team leader. No, I don't know.
Cooks kind of comes and goes.
Yeah,
you know? I feel like Thomas is more consistent. I
mean, you know, Fleener could he's kind of starting to get a little bit.
He's
in the
got 19. So what?
Yeah,
so,
I think he could be on the.
How many did you say Thomas has?
26.
And Cooks has 25.
Yeah.
How
many does Snead have?
19.
Man, they're all in the mix. All four of them.
I mean. Yeah. Kobe Fleener is looking like he's going to get those he's going to have that 60 to 70 catch year, and you know he's definitely not going to be a Spiller type bust already, you know. Andrew, Michael Thomas, he's on pace now for what? That would be 78, like 80 catches, 82 catches for
Is he on pace for 1,000 yards?
Not quite, because he's got 26 catches, but he's only got 307 yards.
You know, I told you in training camp, I watched two practices and I called you and I said, Ralph, this guy's good, really good. And you know, there's just some guys where you just watch him play and you can tell immediately, like they stand out as like, this guy is clearly an NFL receiver, and you could just tell from minute one. You can tell when he catches the ball. He has huge hands. They're so strong. You know, it's not like Meacham or Devery Henderson where they would catch the ball against their body and it always looked a little shaky. You can just tell he's a natural receiver. I just think as time goes on, he's only going to develop more chemistry with Brees, and I think – Cooks is more to me than just a playmaker. Like I don't think he's just, you know, a deep threat. He's not. He's got more to his game than Devery Henderson. So, but I think what's really scary is that I never really thought that Cooks was like a number one receiver that could carry an offense. I think he's more of like a DeSean Jackson that can, you know, kill you at times and then make nice plays at other times, but. He, you know, if he plays a tough corner, like I don't know that with his size he can just dominate someone on every play. But Michael Thomas can. I think, you know, there's going to be times where he's covered very well and he has such good hands and He's got the speed and he's got the size to where you complement him, Cooks with him. And, man, I mean, it's just this offense is tough to stop. There's so many playmakers. And I told you going into the season, like, man, this might be the best playmaking. Now, I thought Spiller was going to be part of that. And I really thought Spiller was going to be special.
He's
this
part
year,
of it in Seattle. But,
yeah, he's part of it. Yeah. But but I told you this might be the best set of playmakers that Breeze has ever had around him. And I stand by that. I mean, you look at Fleener is starting to look more like Ben Watson. And then you just add Snead, Cooks, and Thomas. I'm not sure the Saints have had a trio of receivers this good.
And good luck to a team that if you can't rush the passer or you don't go at least four deep at corner, you are fucked versus the Saints.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's just
Exhibit
it.
A, Carolina. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even a team we'll get to their road woes in a bit. But
unfortunately, their upcoming opponents, Denver and Seattle, have a lot of
yes,
good corners.
They do, unfortunately.
And some pass rush to go with it.
Here's the thing. I want to touch on the defensive tackles, Andrew. They seem to me to not just be getting be good against the run, like you mentioned, but they're getting push, I think, too, which is a pleasant surprise.
Fairley's a beast. Fairley is playing extremely well. I mean, I'm getting close to saying that Fairley is the best free agent signing the Saints have made since Darren Sproles.
Wow. That's
wowie, wow,
that's
wow,
strong.
Wow.
I mean, so we're going to be having this argument, Andrew, of
give him the contract.
Give him the contract. That scares me.
Give it to him.
He scares me to death.
Done.
It scares me to death.
No, don't.
It scares
me. Give him that. You don't give him more than 2 years at most.
No, that is Dave. If he keeps playing like this, that is not going to be an option. He's getting. If he keeps playing like this, and what? How many sacks does he have now? Like three.
I think it's three and a half.
If he gets to, if let's say he gets to eight sacks.
I mean, that's three and a half in five games.
If he gets,
that's a lot for a defensive tackle.
If he gets to eight,
that's about
an
average of 10 or 11.
If he gets to eight sacks, you're going to have to pay him 5 years, $60 million.
Well, then they damn well better let somebody else do that and make that mistake, because the second you give him a contract like that, it doesn't matter what team it is. He's going to loaf and sit on his ass, and you've lost him. So I really hope that the Saints understand that and realize that. And if that's the situation, that they're not the team that makes that mistake.
It's going to be.
But as we've seen in the past, that's exactly what they're going to fucking
do. Here's the thing, Dave, that I think the scenario.
No, that's cool, Dave. So you just want to go back to John Jenkins.
Oh, my
and,
God. Well, John Jenkins
no.
is a free agent, too.
What I want them to do is start fucking drafting like a professional NFL team and get their heads out of their asses, okay?
this draft class is looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is.
It's pointless to, you know, they have made all of these mistakes, and that's what's hurt them. And you it's frustrating, and I don't want to see them make another mistake, it would be a mistake.
Here's a scenario I think.
I mean, I would say this. I would rather invest in guys that have played well for you. And, I mean, already you've seen it with Armstead. Bad example, he's hurt. But Cam Jordan and, Mark Ingram, like, guys that have done it for you in your system. Like, I'd much rather reward those guys than paying Laurinaitis or Bird off the street, where you have no idea how they're going to fit in your system. Like, Fairley's kind of proven that he works in Dennis Allen's system and he likes being with the Saints. And so, like, I feel like he's got way more equity than some random free agent.
Yeah, because if the thing is with the Saints is with Jenkins a free agent and Fairley a free agent. Like, if they both walk, they're going to have to get somebody. So,
yeah, I mean, if you ask me to pick between the two and pay. Pay more for Fairley or pay less for Jenkins, and the decision's real easy.
Well, look, if it was just about any other player, that would be fine. But Fairley has shown the history.
No, you're
where when he's
yeah, it's a risk. No, it's
comfortable,
and
he's got a long term contract. He just does not perform. And Andrew, it's very honorable what you want to do, and you know, that you want to take care of guys that have performed for you. But unfortunately, I just feel like Fairley has, his history has you know, burned me once, shame on me, and fooled me twice, shame on whatever. I said that wrong. But
so basically, you think he's another Junior Gallette?
Yeah, ready to just totally blow up. But I mean, he's not a Junior Gallette in the sense that he's going to have off-field issues. He's just a Junior Gallette in the sense that you're going to waste all of this money and get zero out of it.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Here's the thing, though. The one thing that I will say that makes me a little less reluctant to sign for Fairley is that he went from the Lions to the Rams, and everybody was like, oh my God, the Rams, with that defensive line, he is going to kill it. And he was mediocre for the Rams, and they were like, leave, whatever. And the Saints got him, and this is the best he's ever looked. And the thing is, here's the scenario that I think...
But he looked good for the Rams. The problem is they had Aaron Donald, and he just didn't play that much.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, he had high PFF. I mean, PFF is what it is, but he had good grades for them. He was a backup for the Rams because they had Aaron Donald, I forget who the other guy was, but he played the same position as Donald.
Here's a scenario I think that will be really fun for the Saints if it works out, but it'll make signing Fairley even more of a priority. When Rankin gets back, Dave, if he gets back and he's like, say it's like best case scenario for him in like within 2 or 3 weeks, you're like, oh my God, Rankins is really good. Then you're gonna have this tandem at defensive tackle that's just gonna be destroying people. And I'm gonna tell you, if that happens, there's no way they let him walk. There's no way. And you may be right, but if you go in the last like 3-4 weeks, let's say, and they're just killing people on the defensive line and they're getting sacks from Rankins and Fairley and it's looking really good, there's no way that they're blowing that up and letting that leave. And it may blow up on them later, but there's no way they break up that.
I would guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Andrew, you jump in. You think is my scenario? Do you see it as?
Yeah, I mean, well, Tyler Davidson is, you know, another guy that's in the mix. I mean, you know, so Rankin's coming back is a scary proposition for. I mean, God, man, I wish he would come back sooner. You know, it's just tough. It's tough not having him. He comes back to practice this week, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is this week the week he comes back?
Yeah,
I think it is.
He comes back and then he's got to practice for 2 weeks. That's on Nick Underhill's pin tweet. Six weeks and 2 weeks of practice.
No, he comes back. I think he can play week 9, so I'm guessing that means he practices week 7. So I think we have another week before he can practice. But but we're getting close with him, and man, this defense needs him and Bro back so badly. I mean, you know, the good news is
they would
that
go
those
a long
guys
way, will, I think.
I really think the Saints, if they can just kind of hold water until those guys get back, and I, you know, if they can get to 500, you know, maybe 4-4 going into week 9, then I think there's potential that
it could be fun. It could be
It's gonna be tough.
It can be really fun. The problem is they play Kansas City. What do they play? Kansas City, 49ers, and Seattle. And they have to get 2 out of 3.
I mean, this is an important one. It's a great opportunity to get to 500 here. If by some miracle they can win on the road, it'd be huge.
Yeah. All right, we got tons of Twitter questions. So this is from Joe Horn's cell phone, Andrew. Will Lasko's role continue to grow?
I was surprised. I mean, he seems to have bypassed Hightower in the pecking order at running back. I still think Ingram's the guy, and Cadet has a much bigger role than I'm comfortable with, but clearly he's the receiver. He's the receiving back. I mean, Cadet cost Spiller his job.
Lasko,
I mean,
is
Sean Payton made the decision that I prefer Cadet as my receiving back to Spiller.
Yeah.
Lasko's the number 2 runner right now.
Lasko has earned more of a bigger role, but Joe Horn's cell phone, he is one fumble away from not seeing the field for like 6 more weeks. And he had a little bit of a fumbling issue in the preseason too. Dave, This is about your boyfriend. This is from Joe Valente. Do you think Ingram is running poorly, or is his struggles due to play calling? He seems slow and not cutting well.
I haven't seen that. Do you guys see that? I mean, I feel like he's looked pretty good, and I feel like he's made the most of the opportunities he's been given. And to be honest, I would like to see him given a little bit more opportunity.
I agree that he looked a little slow, especially on that pitch.
I hate that pitch play.
Where he tried to beat the player to the sideline, and it wasn't working clearly, so
just,
he tried to
just
cut
in
it.
This game, and he looked slow?
Yeah, we're on it. You know, they always try to run that pitch, and it never works, and he tries to go around, you know, to the outside of the sideline, and he can't beat the guy to the sideline. So then he tries to cut it back inside, and then he always loses a ton of yards doing
One
that.
One note, though, he was sick for 2 days this week in Pratt. He missed.
Yeah,
two
he
days
was. Of, he was. So. He was. I mean, I with Ingram, I'm just still waiting for him. You know, he has that angry Ingram game where he runs for 170 yards, and we just haven't seen it yet. Listen, the Saints are going on the road. They
this would be the week
for haven't
it,
done
man.
That well on the road. Yeah, like if there's going to be a game where he goes nuts. At Kansas City would be huge because
something's
it would keep
make
the defense
angry.
Off the field. Yeah.
Yeah. This is another question from Joe Horn's cell phone. Sean Payton's call to keep 3 points at the end of the half ended up being important. Thoughts on his game day decisions? The kick was the right call. I mean, like you can't take points off.
It
the
was
board.
It was the only call. Yeah. It was the only call. I think you got to think of it two ways. People were thinking, why doesn't he take a shot at the end zone? You know, the old adage that if you throw the football, three things can happen and two of them are bad, right? And so when you're talking yep. about 10 sacks, there's the potential for an interception. There's the potential for – it's really three things can happen because, there's a sack too. And the sack ends the half. You're
or
done.
A penalty. A penalty makes it have a 10-second you know. Runoff because they wouldn't have had any timeouts.
Right. So there's all these – and then – but to me – the most significant one was that you're kind of shaky at kicker. And now we're talking about his Lutz good, and I get it. But he had just made the kick. There's no way I'm putting an unproven rookie out there to kick another field goal if you throw an incomplete pass. He's already made the kick. And you could see Breeze and Peyton, they thought about it. They were talking yeah. to each other on the sidelines, and you can see Breeze's lips. He looks at Peyton. And he kind of shakes his head and goes, take the points. He knew.
Yeah,
Breeze knew it was the only decision
the
to
more,
make.
The more interesting decision, Dave, was it was 37-30, and the Saints were like, we're going for two, baby.
And we're I wish be, they had.
And man. We're going to be up 39-30, and we're going to end this game. That would have been really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have agreed with that? If
I think people were mad at the Saints for that
because they wasted
they
a timeout.
You know, either do it or don't. But again, that's an X's and O's thing where Peyton was hoping for a certain look and he didn't get it. So take the timeout and you kick.
I probably would not have been okay with going for the two. I'd say take the point.
Yeah, this is from Silver Hair Dave. How sweet was it to watch Dan Quinn lose his shit on the sidelines? It was pretty.
I didn't watch that.
It
I didn't
was
watch
pretty,
the Falcons game.
It was,
oh God, Dave, you got to look that
it
up.
It was pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, I know what happened, but I didn't actually watch the game.
I mean, that was they basically.
But there's a gif out there of Quinn running up and down the sideline like a madman, chasing down a ref.
I'll have
just
to
scream at him.
I'll have to
I
go
mean,
see
they
it.
Kind of,
fantastic. Unlike most other NFL fans, I actually work on Mondays when I go into work.
Well, I mean, they kind of assaulted Julio Jones, so I get the rage. But man, Atlanta's 4-2. The Saints are only a game back in the loss column, so yesterday was about as good as it gets. Well, this is a good question, Andrew. Bigger liability next week: Saints defense or Andy Reid's propensity for the fourth quarter 9.5-minute drive?
I think the latter. I mean, you know, Alex Smith is the prototypical dink and dunk quarterback. And the Saints, unfortunately, are a bend don't break style defense right now.
Yeah, it's, so, just, it's a terrible matchup for the Saints.
Matchup-wise, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs may have multiple nine-minute drives.
Yeah. All right, Dave, one guy from the Saints 2015 draft turns into a superstar. Who do you pick?
What was that? That was Stephon Anthony.
I'm sorry, 26. Oh, yeah, you can pick anybody you want of the young guys to be a superstar.
Well, what was the question?
One young guy turns into a superstar. So you can pick anybody you want.
Just pick one from each class. Jesus.
Well, from that draft class, man, I'd really love Andres Pete to be a superstar. And then who was in this year's draft class?
You got Rankins, you got Onyemata, you got Bell.
Oh yeah, yeah, Rankins for sure. Now, yeah. I'll leave Thomas because Thomas I think is going to be fine by himself. So I'll go with Rankins. I want to make sure Rankins is going to be a superstar on the line.
Yeah.
that way I got defensive line and offensive line. I'm covered there. But
if the Saints go 5-3, Andrew, how much credit do we give our defense? I mean, it depends.
Not much.
I mean, if they win the next two,
we've always said they have to be good enough not to cost an epic Drew Brees performance a win. They were barely good enough this Sunday.
Yeah.
D minus. You know, check. Passing grade. So no, I mean, I think the defense, until they get Bro and Rankins back, it's going to be a continued thing where they'll play nice for a couple of drives, they'll luck into a turnover, Cam Jordan will get a nice sack. You know, there'll be moments. This defense cannot, with the injuries and the lack of corner ability, they can't go four quarters.
They can't go four quarters. And here's the thing, and I know this is completely unfair, but I feel like whenever the defense gets a stop and the Saints get the ball back and have the lead, they have to score. Like, and I know that's just completely unfair and irrational to think that, but I feel like it's almost like tennis, Andrew, where you're like, I'm up a break. You've gotta hold that serve, you know? And even if it's just like a field goal or whatever, I feel this nervousness is pressure.
No lead is safe.
So that does the Twitter questions. Thanks, everybody. All right, Dave, I'll start with you. The Saints go to Kansas City this week. They are a 6.5-point underdog in Kansas City.
Whoa.
To the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 3-2. The Chiefs rank middling in every category. They're 14th in rush defense, 14th in pass. They're like 10th in points, which is pretty good on defense. They only have 7 sacks on defense, which was odd. But, Dave, give me your thoughts on the Saints going to Kansas City.
I'm not too optimistic. I mean, I don't think Kansas City is amazing, but I think on paper they're certainly a better football team, and obviously they'll be home. I think it's going to be difficult for the Saints, especially given, I mean, the defense, you know, like you guys just said, they may get lucky here or there, but it's tough for them to play a full game. And I think the Saints barely eked out a win against a pretty, pretty crummy Panthers team. So, I mean, that win was exciting, but it doesn't really give me that much confidence in the Saints, just like last week's win barely, or 2 weeks ago when they lucked into 2 fumbles and beating the Chargers. I mean, I haven't seen them come out and play 4 quarters of football and just go out and beat a team for 4 quarters, for 4 straight quarters.
I think Andrew just
I just
said,
haven't seen it yet.
I don't think that's possible. If it wasn't, yeah, wasn't going to so happen yesterday.
I got to say they're going to lose, and I'll go Man, I don't think the offense will put up that many. I'll go 20. I'll go 30. 30 to 24 Chiefs.
All right, so the Saints will cover.
Yeah, barely.
All right. Andrew? Oh, who's your go to the game?
I
the Saints will lose it, Dave. Who's your go to the game?
It's got to be somebody on special teams. it'll be Lutz. He'll miss like two kicks.
Oh Lord!
Those are your 6 points right there,
Andrew.
I think the offense doesn't play as well on the road.
No, they don't.
I think Tony Hills is going to be the starter at left tackle. He's my goat. He's going to be a disaster. I think it's going to be a lot like the opener at Arizona last year, where the Saints kind of hang around for a little bit, but they kind of feel like they're getting their ass kicked the whole game, and they end up losing 31-17.
Yeah, the thing is with the Saints...
And your cat chimes in.
She does. The thing is,
I don't think your cat likes my
your pick. The thing is with the Saints, Drew Brees, his quarterback rating at home is like 115 or 118. His quarterback rating on the road is 82. They have yet to break 250 yards passing into two road games. I know it's a small sample, but I just think Sean Payton, for whatever reason, can mask their offensive line issues at home with formations, whatever. I just think this is a terrible, terrible matchup for the Saints. And
is Dave huffing glue?
I'm drilling.
Drilling a, yeah. You're like Dexter drilling a dead body.
I'm drilling my a doorbell in.
So I'm going to go.
See, we multitask on this podcast.
I can't even believe you hear that.
We heard it loud and clear, man. Oh, by the way, everybody, donate. Come on, man. We need the donations to pay the 2017 fees for the Podbean. So donate $1, $2, $2, whatever. Come on, we just need to keep the lights on. My prediction, this one is really hard. I thought Kansas City's stats would be better than they were. And when I looked at them, mm-hmm. I was like, they're not as good as I thought. And here's the thing.
How's Alex Smith playing? What's his rating for the year?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, with this, when you play this.
Pull it up.
Let me see. All right. He was good against the Raiders, man. He was like very Alex Smithy. He was like 20.
So like he threw for like 220.
Yeah, yards. And he was like 19 or 22. For the year he's thrown for 1,300 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 91 rating. You know, yeah. he had.
It's about what you expect out of Alex Smith.
Yeah. Here's the thing though, I think I'm switching my mind, and here's why. Kansas City is 3-2. And they're playing at home, and they're a 6.5-point favorite. But look at the schedule. Looking deeper into their schedule, they played the Chargers at home. Chargers, Phillip Rivers, pretty good quarterback, pretty interesting offense, right? They choke up games in the fourth quarter. The choke against Kansas City was epic, but the Chargers scored 27. They played the Steelers. They gave up 43. What do the Steelers have, Andrew? Oh, yeah, 3 really awesome wide receivers. I'm changing my mind. I think the Saints are going to go in.
How many of these teams had Tony Hills at left tackle?
Oh, yeah. God damn it, Andrew. All right. Kansas City, 24. Saints, 13. You killed my...
He was about to pick the Saints.
I was about to pick the Saints.
Didn't take much to talk you out of it.
No.
Yeah,
but
come on. Let's get one person on the podcast picking the Saints.
Come
on, Ralph.
What if Armstead plays this week?
I'm not counting on it.
Fuck it. I'm going to say Armstead's going to play and the Saints are going to win. And the Saints are going to win 31-21. How about that?
Love it.
All right, so... Kevin was MIA. He was vomiting up.
So wait, hold on. You're saying this defense is going to hold Kansas City to 21 points.
They haven't held a team at home to under 25 in over a year. Like, this defense is, well, they did play good against the Giants. They're just due to, like, fall ass backwards into a bunch of turnovers, you know? And the thing is, for Kansas City, man, if they can get ahead of Kansas City, Andrew, Kansas City is the one team, I think, that you could feel pretty secure if the Saints would get up like 17-3, that Kansas City would have a world of trouble catching up with the Saints.
They did it against the Chargers.
Yeah, but the Chargers, like, totally shit the bed all over the place. Like turnovers.
The Saints don't do that?
Well, I mean, I don't think that the defense might suck, but I don't think Breeze would. I don't think the Saints would would cough up three turnovers in the second half.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean,
no, you're right. I mean, the Chargers gag it on both sides of the ball.
The Chargers
are really kind of focus on gagging out.
Chargers
defense.
Can do us a huge favor and rise up and beat Atlanta this week.
I wouldn't put it past them.
You know, that's a total Atlanta move. Just when everybody's buying in because they played. They played Seattle tough, and they went to Denver and went and won. Just when everybody's buying into Atlanta, that's just like them to lay a fucking egg at home. That's
didn't the Chargers just beat Denver?
Yeah, they did. That's the total Atlanta move, and then the Saints can beat.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would. Oh, the podcast next week if the Saints are 3-3 and tied in the loss column with Atlanta. Oh, the fun we would have. Kevin was MIA. He's vomiting up something. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. We'll have the podcast up, and they have all kinds of stuff. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got his grades up. He'll have the defensive grades up tomorrow.
Everything's up.
Everything's up now, so do that.
Yep.
Find us on the Twitters. And until next week, the bar is closed.